Guys, again, I got a preaching tip right before I got up here from Josh. He told me if I could just yell a lot like Pastor does, then it'd help him stay awake. So hopefully I'm going to yell a lot, keep you guys awake tonight. It's Wednesday night, middle of the week. It's felt like Friday to me every day this week, so I know you guys are probably feeling it a little bit too. You can be turning. Matthew chapter 22 is where we'll be here in a little bit tonight. We're going to get there in just a second. Matthew chapter 22 is where we'll be in verse 34, Matthew 22, 34. We're kind of going to jump into the middle of a story. Have you ever felt like, no matter what you did, you just couldn't win the argument? Have you ever been in an argument with somebody like that? No matter what happened, you just cannot win in a situation. Or have you ever been asked a question, a dreaded question, to which there are no right answers? There are no right answers at all. Maybe you husbands could understand. Have you ever been asked the dreaded question, does this dress make me look? Is that not the word? There is no possible right answer to that question. I mean, what in the world are you supposed to, I mean, all of us, we say, no, absolutely not. And what do they say? You're lying, right? I mean, what are we supposed to say? Yes? There is no right answer to that question, right? Have you ever felt like that in life? No matter what you do, there's just no right answer. There's no right question. Maybe you've been in a situation where maybe you've been even blamed for something, even though you have really no idea what's going on. Now, I love being married. I love my wife to death, and she's not in here tonight, so I'm going to tell a story. But this has happened, I guess, 3 or 4 times. It's absolutely hilarious to me. But there's been times where me and my wife will wake up in the morning, and neither of us are morning people. I don't know. Do I have any morning people? Anybody in here just loves mornings? I do not like mornings. Matt drags me to the gym every morning at 5 a.m. like a jerk. I hate it. I cannot stay in the mornings. It's not fun. But me and my wife, neither of us are morning people, so we can be grumpy in the morning time. So if you ever talk to me, you know, before 11 a.m., and I'm not nice, that's why. But in the mornings, there's been a couple times where we've woken up, and I've noticed that there's something off. I'm thinking, well, what'd I do? You know, you're just kind of like on your tiptoes. Okay, she's not happy. What did I do? Did I do something wrong? So you start thinking, what did I do or what did I forget to do or what did I not do, right? You start thinking. And eventually, you know, I'll ask her, you know, what happened? Did I forget something? You know, did I upset you or whatever? Finally, I'll figure it out. I'll get an answer similar to this. This has happened about 3 or 4 times since we've been married. And I'll get the answer, well, you didn't save me. I'm thinking, we just woke up. What in the world are you talking about? I didn't save you. We've been asleep all night. What are you talking about? I didn't save you. What? You're here. What did I not save you from? You didn't save me. You didn't save me last night. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And then I'll get the answer. Last night, in the middle of the night, when I was being chased by all those wolves and that bear, and you stood there, and you watched, and you didn't save me. And I'm sitting there thinking, are you serious? I'm literally in trouble right now because of something that I did or did not do in your dream that's fictional, that did not happen. And have you ever felt like, no matter what happens, no matter what I do, I cannot win in this situation? We're going to jump into a story tonight, and that's exactly what's going on here. Jesus is right in the middle of a situation where the Pharisees are trying to do everything they can possibly do to make him feel like there is no right answer. There is, no matter what you say, it's the wrong answer. We're going to jump in verse number 34 of Matthew chapter 22. The Bible says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. We're jumping into a situation here where the Jews are trying to entangle Jesus in something, in his words, in his tracks, trying to entangle up in something to where no matter what question they ask him, he gives the wrong answer. That's their goal. But can I tell you tonight, before we jump in, God would much rather have Christians who follow after his love than only those who follow his laws. God would much rather desire to have Christians who follow after his love and not merely obey his laws. Jesus here is approached by one of the Pharisees, and this guy is a lawyer. He's one of the Bible calls a lawyer, and it's not a lawyer in the term, in the way that we would think of being a lawyer, not a lawyer like we would think of today. This guy was literally a guy who studied the Old Testament law, the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. This guy knew his Old Testament. This was a guy who was a biblical scholar. All he did was study the law. He took pride in the fact that he knew the law better. And this was a guy that the scribes and the Pharisees, their religious sect, they all looked up to him as one of him being one of the top guys. This was a guy that he was proud of his position. He knew the Old Testament like crazy. He was looked up to, and he knew the Mosaic law on a different level, on a higher level than everybody else in his day. And he comes to him with this question. This was a guy who all the scribes and Pharisees looked up to. He would, if he were around today, we would just say, you know, he has a doctorate in theology, right? This is a guy who's well-versed. Not only did he teach the Bible, but he knew the Bible. He knew all about the law. And this lawyer comes to Jesus with what appears to be a sincere question. He says, Master, what's the greatest commandment in the law? But if it wasn't for Matthew's commentary, we know that he came, and Matthew says that he came tempting Jesus. And he goes on behalf of all the other religious leaders of that day. He goes on behalf of all the scribes and the Pharisees, goes to ask him a question. And if you remember, all throughout the Gospels, the scribes and Pharisees had one goal and one goal only every time they ran into Jesus. And that was to try to get Jesus to contradict their teachings in the law. They were troublemakers. They were always trying to get Jesus to say something against what they believed because they were threatened by Jesus' teachings. They thought that Jesus' teachings was going against what they thought the law said, and they thought they always wanted to catch Jesus saying something against Judaism. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, they felt threatened by him, so they were consumed with this hatred of Jesus. Every corner he turns, everything he says, everything he does, they are always trying to catch Jesus and to get him pitted against themselves. They're always there with this confrontation. The scribes and Pharisees, they prided themselves, though, in the fact that they were the keepers of the law. They were the ones that recorded the Old Testament. They would rewrite it generation to generation, make sure it was passed down to their kids and their grandkids. They were the ones who taught the Bible. They were the ones who from generation to generation, consistently kept the Old Testament law. And they prided themselves in that fact. Now, you could say they were the keepers of Judaism, if you will. If I were to ask you guys tonight, who would be the superhero of Christianity? We'd all say Jesus, right? Jesus, he's the first and the last. Jesus is the author and the finish of our faith. No questions asked. Jesus is the superhero of Christianity, right? If Christianity had a superhero, it's Jesus. He's the one. But if you were to ask any Jew, if you were to ask any of them, any scribe, any Pharisee, any person in Judaism at all, if you were to ask them, who is your superhero? Who is the superhero of Judaism? You know who it is. It's Moses. Moses is their superhero. He is the number one hero. Moses, he's the one they looked up to and respected the most. Moses is the guy that he was the one who talked face to face with God. Moses is the guy that he penned the first five books of the Old Testament, the law, the ones that they kept to, the Mosaic law. Moses was the recipient of the Ten Commandments, you know, those first books, that the foundation of the whole law. Moses is their superhero. And the reason that the Jews fear Jesus is because they believe Jesus' teachings attacked Moses' teachings. They believe Jesus, everything that Jesus stood for, attacked Moses' teaching. That's why you find in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy it, but to fulfill the law." So Jesus is defending himself, but nevertheless, you see that the goal of the scribes and Pharisees and the goal of this lawyer here is to make Jesus look like an apostate, to make him look like, oh, he's contradicting the law. He's contradicting Moses. They're trying to discredit everything Jesus says by pitting him against Moses. They want to push him to a point where he would articulate some law in this question that they ask. What's the greatest law? They wanted Jesus to articulate some law, any law, that would pit his teachings against Moses' teaching, get the people to turn against him. And Jesus is about to compare and contrast the difference here. He's about to compare and contrast the difference of people who live by the law and of people who live with love. We're going to see, first of all, tonight, the danger. Notice with me, the danger of deception. See, the Jews, they loved the law. They took pride in the law. They knew the law. They copied it. They wrote it. And they took so much pride in the law that they kept adding and adding and adding to it, that it didn't just go from the Ten Commandments. No, the Jews prided themselves so much in the law that they eventually came up with 613 separate commandments. 613 of them that they followed. 613 things to do or not to do. 613. And they got it to 613 because there are 613 Hebrew letters in the Ten Commandments. When God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, you'll find 613 Hebrew letters. They found one law. They created one law. They kept adding to God's law, added to get 613, one for every single letter. And if that's not enough, if that wasn't enough, they'd broken them down into two main groups. There was 248 affirmative laws, positive laws. Do this and this will happen. Do this and be blessed. 248 positive laws. They came up with one of those for what they said was every part of the human body. One law for every part of the human body. Then, so 248 positive. But then they had 365 negative laws. Don't do this. 365, don't do that. One for every single day of the year. 613 total laws, 248 do this, 365 don't do that. And then if that's not enough, they kept adding to the law. They broke them down even more so, those 613 laws, and they broke them down into two more categories. Some of the 613 were light laws, and some of the 613 were heavy laws. The light laws were the semi-optional kind of laws, and the heavy laws to them were the ones, these are binding laws, you've got to do these. So they had their laws. They loved the law. They kept adding to the laws. They had 613 of them. And these religious leaders, when they ask Jesus this question, when the lawyer comes and asks, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? It's almost as if you're trying to get Jesus' attention and say, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Take your pick. You've got 613 to choose from, 248 positive, 365 negative. Take your pick, Jesus, 613 laws. Surely if Jesus says one law that they deemed less important than another one, then that contradicts what Moses says, right? In their question, they're just trying to set Jesus up to give some sort. Take your pick, Jesus, any one of these 613. Tell me which one you think is the most important, and we'll show you that it's not. Therefore, you contradict Moses, and we'll write you off as being an apostate. That's their goal. They're trying to set Jesus up here. By the way, though, if someone were to ask you, what is the greatest commandment? What is the one thing, if there's anything, what's the one thing in Christianity? What's the one thing I need to do? What's the one thing, the most important thing? It's an interesting question. I suppose Jesus could have said many different answers here. There's a lot of things throughout the whole Bible that are repeated over and over, and we deem them as pretty important. I mean, Jesus could have said, fear not. I mean, that's all throughout the Bible. And we just say, okay, yeah, that's a good thing to say. Jesus is here. Fear not. He's the Messiah. He's the one who's going to take everyone's sins away. That's a good thing. Absolutely. Fear not. He could have said that. Jesus could have said, hey, trust in me. That's an important thing. That could be the greatest commandment. If you want to be saved, you better trust in the Lord, right? If you had one chance, one shot, one opportunity to give someone one commandment, the greatest commandment, if they were to ask you that, what would you say? It'd be pretty important for us to, I mean, we could tell them, believe in Jesus. We could tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I mean, that would be an important thing to tell people, right? That's not what Jesus says. If you look here, look at verse number 37, or I'm sorry, look at verse 36. The lawyer says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. See, right here, Jesus is quoting what is called the Shema. S-H-E-M-A, the Shema. This quote right here that Jesus is quoting, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, was from the Old Testament. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. This is what it says. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says, hear, O Israel. That word hear is the word Shema. It's a Hebrew word Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That word hear is the word Shema. It literally means to hear and to listen. It means hear and respond. Maybe husbands and wives, you probably understand this as well as anybody else. You've been sitting on the couch, flipping through the TV, and then you hear, are you listening to me? Right? I get this all the time. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? My wife is, when she asks me that, she's not asking, She's not asking if scientifically if my brain registered that noise came out and I acknowledged that she made a sound. No, she's not asking that. She's saying, hey, are you listening to me? Are you understanding what I'm telling you? Are you getting this? Because I try to be a multitasker, but I'm really not good at it. And that's what we do. The word Shema means to hear and to understand, and not just understand, but to respond. And that's what it's saying. It's saying, hey, I need you to hear it. I need you to understand this, and I need you to respond to it. That's what the word is. It's what Shema means. It means you heard, you understood, you responded. And what's amazing about this, though, I love this, is that when this lawyer comes with his deceptive question, trying to get Jesus to give some law that he would deem less important, Jesus quotes the Shema, and every single Jewish person quoted the Shema two times every single day. So when Jesus is asked this question, hey, name one of the 613 commandments, that's going to pit you, Jesus, against our hero, Moses. Jesus quotes from what book of the Bible? Deuteronomy, the thing that they say two times every day. And who wrote it? Moses. So when they're trying to pit Jesus against Moses, Jesus quotes Moses. It's amazing. Jesus quotes Moses here. He quotes the Shema. He quotes the same thing that they quote two times every single day. So when Jesus gives the answer, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, it's not like they would have responded and said, I have never heard that before. And no, this is something they said every single day. They all knew it. Maybe you've seen this if you have maybe gone to a neighbor's house or maybe been out soul winning, I don't know. And you knock on someone's door or you see in a doorway, have you ever seen those little crooked scroll thingies up in the doorpost? And it's a Jewish home. They have these little scrolls there. They're called mezuzahs up in the side of the door. Or maybe you see over in Israel, an Orthodox Jew, and you've seen them, they have these black boxes strapped on their forehead or a black box strapped on their arm. Orthodox Jews, to this day, they still do this. And inside the mezuzah and inside that box on their arm or on their forehead is the Shema, to this day. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. They still say it two times a day. Every single person, when they heard Jesus say this, they would have known his answer. They would have known exactly what he was quoting. He was quoting their hero, the guy they were trying to pit him against. Jesus quotes from that. See, the lawyer, he asks, what is the greatest commandment in the law? But Jesus uses a different word. Jesus says, thou shalt love. See, the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, they're all about law. I've got to keep the law. I've got to do what's in the law. I've got to keep all these 613 laws. But Jesus isn't about laws. Jesus is about love. And can I tell you, you've got to understand the difference between the law and love if you don't want to stay frustrated in your Christian life. Because this message, to be honest, is something that God has first worked in my life about, because this is something that I have struggled with so much in my Christian life. It can be an incredible struggle going and living out the difference between law and love in your life. But Jesus draws a great distinction, and he draws a distinction here and talks about the deception of the law. Jesus says, thou shalt love. When the Pharisees were all about the law, Jesus was about love, and they were so deceived, they got to the point where they were so concerned with the externals, they were more concerned with the externals and checking off the boxes on the outside, do this law, do this law, do this law, that they didn't care as much about what was on the inside. They were so deceived that checking off the externals was more important than what was on the inside. They were so deceived that the way they appeared on the outside to everybody else was more important than how they really were on the inside. And Jesus stops and he points out that there's a danger when it comes to the law. You can live by your 613 laws, but the law will always lead you to a life of pride. Because if all my boxes are checked on the outside and then somebody else doesn't have as many boxes checked as I do, then I'm lifted up in pride. I'm full of pride. And Jesus draws a distinction. He said, hey, there's a danger with the law. The law is going to lead you to pride. And Jesus beats the Pharisees up time and time again throughout the Gospels all about their pride. He calls them time and time again. You see him call them vipers and venomous snakes. That's not normally a term of endearment. He calls them whited sepulchers. Hey, on the outside, you're a nice, pretty casket. On the inside, you're rotten. You're filthy. You're decaying. He calls them hypocrites. I mean, how much more biting words can you get? You say one thing, but you do another. Jesus calls them hypocrites, and he says, hey, be careful. There's a danger with the law, because the law is going to lead you to pride. Jesus says, hey, you look great on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. These are harsh words, but not only does the law lead you to pride, it also leads you to the danger of comparison. See, all the Pharisees did here was compare themselves with themselves. You remember the guy in Luke chapter 18? He comes into the temple and he comes in boisterously and he comes in proud and he says, I thank thee, God, that I am not as this sinner, this publican. I fast twice a week and I give of all my goods. I give a tithe. And he's comparing himself with them. He says, I keep the law. I do what's in the law. I keep all of the laws. But 2 Corinthians 10:12 warns us. He says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. See, the law leads to pride. The law leads to comparison. But love leads us to something different entirely. Love will lead you to devotion. Love will lead you to devotion. See, when you love someone, you don't have to have the law. When you love somebody, your heart's for them. Your desires are for them. You want to know about them. You want to know what their desires are. You seek to satisfy their desires. You sacrifice for them. See, the devil wants you to be defeated by the law, but Jesus wants you to be devoted through love. The devil wants you to think, man, I didn't read my Bible as well as I should have last year, and I got to February and March, and we got through Leviticus, and Leviticus got pretty hard, and then I got to all those names, and they begat, and they begat, and they begat, and they begat, and then I missed a couple days here and there, and then it just kind of tailed off, and I got so far behind that, see, the devil wants you to be defeated, because you didn't check it off your list, because you didn't finish the law. The devil wants you to live beat up by it. Man, I didn't pray as often as I should have last year. I didn't do this like I should have last year. And the devil wants you to live defeated by the law. But love is different. Love isn't, man, if I don't read my Bible, I'm going to be guilty. Love is, man, I want to love Jesus. I want to know Jesus more because I want to satisfy his heart. I want to know who he is. It's not something I have to do, not a list I have to check off, but it's something I want to do. It's not something I've got to do that I'm required. It's something that I get to do. See, because when your relationship to God is based on the law, it will always lead to and depend upon your performance. When your relationship to God is based on the law, it will lead to and depend upon your performance. Did I do enough? Did I give enough? Was I there enough? Did I serve enough? Did people see my service enough? Did they see how much I did? It depends on your service. Did people notice what I did for God? But when your relationship to God is based on love, it won't lead you to depend on your performance. It's going to lead you to depend on a person. It's going to lead you to depend on Christ. It's going to lead you straight to Jesus. And at the beginning of this year, several of the guys in the church started this great, wonderful idea that we were going to do 100 push-ups every single day for the entire year. Now, I wasn't in on this originally. I kind of got dragged into it. This wasn't something I started, but they came up with this great plan, this New Year's resolution. I hate New Year's resolutions. They never work out for me very well. Anyways, they started this group chat and everything. They're sending these texts out, and we're going to do 100 push-ups every day. And I'm like, okay, fine. I get talked into it, so I start doing it. And a lot of people start doing it. I don't know where everybody's at. I do know the only person I think that hasn't ever missed a day is Matt. He's just kind of weird. He likes to put his body through a lot of pain and suffering, and you know, he's real consistent and faithful and stuff. You know, he's one of those weird people. I'm not like him at all. But at the beginning, you know, I'm trying to stay on track. We're going through January. I'm trying, okay, 100 push-ups a day. It can't be that hard, right? It just takes a little bit. So we're doing them. Then I miss a day. Okay, I got to do 200 the next day. And then I keep doing them. I catch back up. And February hit. February hits. And what's today's date? 28. So I'm 2,800 push-ups behind so far right now. Yeah, it's not going so well. See, it was a checklist. This wasn't something that I really, really set out. It wasn't a goal that I set for myself. It was kind of something that I kind of, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it. If you guys are doing it, I'll do it. It wasn't something I loved. It wasn't something I was committed to. It wasn't something I was super serious about. It was just something to check off. I didn't love it. It became a chore to me. And once it becomes a chore, it becomes a burden. Then once it's a burden, it's not long till I dropped it. You know, I'm not I'm going to stand here tonight and tell you, tonight I'm going to go catch up on my 2,800 push-ups. I'm not. I'm gone. I'm too far behind. I might do some more throughout the year for sure, but I'm not going to make up this 2,800 that I missed. Can I ask you, does your relationship with God feel like a chore? Has your relationship to God gotten to the point where it feels like, man, this is hard for me to want to spend time with God? It's work. It's a burden. Can I ask you, do you want to get closer to God because you love him, or do you just want to get closer to God because you know that's what Christians are supposed to do? Jesus warns that there's a danger in this deception. The law is going to lead to pride. It's going to lead to comparisons. But love is going to lead you to a life of devotion if you're motivated by love. But then he also gives, secondly, the danger of division. Verse 37 again, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Wouldn't it be easier for us as Christians sometimes if we just lived by a list? Wouldn't it be nice if we just had maybe not 613 numbered long lists, but wouldn't it just be easier if we just had a list that we could just check off? When I was growing up, every Saturday afternoon was the dreaded time of my life. I hated Saturday afternoons because Saturday afternoon, we always knew, me, my brother, and my sister, we always knew it was cleaning day with mom every single Saturday afternoon. We couldn't go outside in the evening until we got all our cleaning done, got all our chores done. But it didn't take long growing up for me to figure out if I get, there was one thing I wanted from mom. It didn't take me long to figure this out. All I wanted from her on a Saturday was a list. Because it didn't take long to realize when I didn't have a list and I'm doing chores with mom, I'm going from one job to the next, and then, oh, honey, I forgot. Can you go do? And then we go to the next chore. Oh, we forgot. Oh, and I noticed this. Oh, and I noticed that. Oh, and can you go downstairs and vacuum? And when you're with mom, hey, it's work. You have to keep doing the same. And then sometimes you have to do the same job over again because you didn't do it good enough the first time. But hey, if I get a list, I've got it made. I can go check the first box, check the second box, check the third, move on, do this one halfway, but check it off anyways and keep going, right? The list is easy. I like the list. And sometimes Christianity, we think Christianity would just be easier if we had the list. If we just lived our life by our Christian checklist. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Check. God loveth the cheerful giver. Oh, okay. Check. Got a smile on my face. Thou shalt not steal. Check. Okay. Hey, a Christian list, that would be nice. It would be easy to check off. See, spending time with someone is far more difficult than just checking off a list. Yet we love the list because then we can show God our list. God, don't you see all the things I did? God, I checked off my list. God, I did all these chores. God, I did this and I read my Bible and I prayed and I did this and I did this. I didn't get anything out of it, but I checked it off my list. We love the list. We love to show God what we've done with our list, but love goes far deeper than any list. Love goes, it requires so much more of you than just checking off a list or checking off a set of rules. If you love your spouse, it's not just a checklist with them. Hey, if you love your spouse, your attitude is, I love you, therefore I will learn you. I love you, therefore I will learn you. If any of you were to come to me tonight and ask, hey, what's your wife's birthday? I forget that one. That's a hard one. January 25th, that's it. Hey, if I didn't know my wife's birthday, you think, you don't know your wife's birthday? How much do you know about your wife? What's your wife's shoe size? I forget. What's your wife's favorite thing to do? I don't know. No, if I love someone, I will learn them. I will learn what their likes are, what their dislikes are. I will learn their desires. I'll learn their heart. I'll learn everything I can about them. If I love you, I will learn you. I shouldn't have to wait for my wife to tell me, don't throw your clothes on the floor in the bedroom. You should take out the... I shouldn't have to wait for my wife to tell me things to do because I know her heart. I've spent time with her. I've spent time getting to know her and what she desires, and I want to please her. And Jesus says, hey, or God says, because you love me, you're going to have to learn me. And Jesus says, look, Pharisees, you don't need to divide up all these 613 laws into heavy and light and unimportant and important. You don't need to divide up all these laws. You don't need to worry about dividing it up. Don't get divided with all the stuff that's going on. God's saying, look, you should have one focus, one singular focus, one sole desire in life, and it should be to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all of your being. If you love me, you will learn me, because love is more dedicated and devoted than any list. Because I love you, God, I want to learn you. Because I love you, I'm going to Shema. I'm going to hear and I'm going to respond to what you gave me. Love's more than an action. It's more than obedience. It's an action. It's a choice. It shows I want to please you, God. I'm not going to do that because I want to please you. I am going to do that because I want to please you. But can I tell you, the most immature of believers will always choose the list. most immature believers, we will always choose the list because the list is easy. But tonight, don't think that I'm implying that God's laws aren't important. I'm not trying to say that what God gave in the law isn't important. No, if God says we should do something, I believe that we should do it. If God put it in the Bible, if it's important to God, it should be important to us. But what I'm saying is that if we live by love, it will lead us to do everything that's on the list as well. If we live by love, it will include everything that God included in the law. When we live by love, it ups the ante. It requires us to do more. Living by love, in a contrast to living by the list, if I just check off the list, I did the list. But if I live by love, it's going to lead me far beyond what's on the list. In Matthew 5:43, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it has been said, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." That's what the law said. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Jesus said, hey, the law tells you to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I'm telling you, you've got to love your neighbor and you need to love your enemies and you need to pray for your enemies and you need to bless your enemies. See, the love will always take me farther in my Christian life than any list checking will. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, you've heard it say, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, even if you hate your brother, it's the same as if you've committed murder in your heart. See, the love will always take us farther than the list. The difference of devotion then is that if we live by love and not just the law, we'll be led to learn Jesus. We'll know his heart. We'll know his desires for our life. We'll seek to satisfy his heart. We'll seek to learn what he wants for our lives if we're led by love and not just by checking off our Christian list. We'll want to do it because of love. We'll do it not just because we're going to feel guilty if we forget to do our 100 push-ups. See, growing Christians will seek to satisfy the heart of Christ, not just hear the words of Christ. Growing Christians will always seek to satisfy the heart of Christ, not just hear the words of Christ. That's why James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." See, there's a danger of deception. There's a danger in division, but there's a difference in devotion. Love's always going to take you farther than the law ever would. The devil wants you to feel defeated by the law, but Jesus wants you to be devoted by love. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us first, because now we can love you in return. But Lord, help us not to be motivated by just some checklist, some externals that we should check off so that we can show everybody else how well we're doing. Lord, help us to be motivated by love. Help us to do everything that we do because we love you. Because it's going to take us farther. It's going to require more work. It's going to require more of us, God. But help us to go farther. Help us to dig deeper. Help us to know you more, Lord. As the piano begins to play, can I ask you tonight, has your relationship with God become a chore?